Welcome to the Editor's Weekly Podcast of Gaming Insurrection. This is episode 21. We're talking about the worst games ever played, that we have ever played. I should probably qualify that. This is Editor-in-Chief Lindsay Mosley, and I'm joined as usual by Associate Editor Jamie Mosley.
Yep, what's going on?
Yep, we decided we're going to try to make this a little bit more frequent, since it's supposed to be a weekly podcast. And we decided we're going to have this is our first podcast of the new year. So, what's up, Jamie?
Oh, not too much. Beginning of the new year, you know, come up with some different ideas. I decided that since a lot of people hear about those horrible games out there, you know, people say you should absolutely just stay away from, I decided that I should not stay away from those horrible games to prove to people why they should stay away from these horrible games. So, came up with this brilliant idea that at least you thought was brilliant also, that I should torture myself by playing these horrible games to show the world why these games are so horrible.
Yes, I did think they were actually, I thought it was a very good idea, especially seeing as though you and Brandon, and that would be Brandon Beatty, our contributing editor, forced me. And in the two years we've been back on the market, actually 3 years now. Actually, it's been 3 years. Hey, look at that, third anniversary for us. It's the third anniversary of the start of Gaming Insurrection's reboot. And in the 3 years that we've been doing this, where the three of us have been contributing and writing stuff for it, We've had some stinkers. I mean, like some really bad games that, you know, you guys have decided that you wanted to review. And I have to not only read through these reviews and edit them, I have to get the art for them and do the video for it, because we have a YouTube channel where we post up, you know, gameplay videos. And so I'm sitting there like, why am I having to read this? Man, this is some crap. this is some old bullshit. I really, really do not want to review this game. I do not want to read this review. I do not want to have to get art for it. I do not want to have to get video for it. But because they chose it, I have to. I don't tell you guys what you have to write about. That's completely up to you. Whatever you want to write about, it just has to be, you know, an old game, or it can be something current, but that goes in another section. So if you're doing something for Retrograde, and this is for you listeners, this is a little overview of how our magazine works here. If it's an older game, generally PlayStation 2 and below, and even GameCube sometimes, we'll have that in Retrograde. If it's, you know, before that, if it's anything like current generation, like Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3 or Wii or even DS, we will put that in Ready, Set, Begin, which used to be our What We're Playing section. So I'm just like, Could y'all pick any good games to do? Because these are terrible. There have been quite a few that have just been outright terrible. And I've been like, I really don't want to do this. So that's when I have to put on my editor management cap and delegate responsibility.
Well, some of those games that we thought were really good and everything, you were like, well, this game is crap. And we come to realize that you thought the game was crap because you had focused yourself on Mario is the pinnacle of all games, so everything has to be pretty close to what Mario is.
Not really.
If it doesn't play like Mario, this game is ass.
No, not really. No, that's not necessarily true. Because, okay, I look at it, I judge it next to the standard of platforming. When I look at, like, Super Mario Brothers 3.
And there we go. But there's a different standard for each one of them.
But I look at it like a standard of platforming. For hop and bop platforming, Mario 3 is the standard, like, or at least Super Mario was.
No, Mario 3 became the standard after it came out. Before then, no one had any idea. They were going to try to keep up. You don't keep up with the Joneses when you pull out a platform. What you want to do is you want to different yourself. You want to be a different perspective than what is hot on the market. That way you can get something else. If you didn't have that, then you wouldn't have got Mortal Kombat from Street Fighter.
Yes, but I understand that. But in this case, like, some of these games after Super Mario Bros. 3, like, everything after 1990 should be playing. I mean, come on, y'all. Y'all got Super Mario Bros. 3, and then you got, like, I don't know, Dirty Harry. I don't even know when did Dirty Harry come out. It was like 1990, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
around about the same time. It's like, what? Like, y'all had Zelda in 86, 87, and you got, like, you still putting out crap later? No, you should be looking at the best on that system and being like, okay, this is what we need to emulate, at least.
But then you get the thing of, why are you always copying this thing? And then all the games will look alike. Then how are you going to stand out from everything?
I ain't saying you got to copy it exactly, but I'm saying you need to talk to somebody and be like, so how do y'all do y'all platforming system?
Oh, we see how you do your platform system. We don't want to go that route. So what we're going to do, we're going to change a little bit. We're going to put this right here and this right here. Well, that's not what they would have done in Mario. The name of the game is Mega Man. It's not Mario.
Let me tell you something about Mega Man. Mega Man's ass needed to pick up a page from Mario because Mega Man was terrible. Okay, I know that's blasphemous and all. I get it. It's blasphemous. There are people who love Mega Man. I don't begrudge anybody who loves Mega Man. I don't. But the game is terrible.
They made more games than Mario did.
I know they did, and they needed to stop after 3. Really, they should have stopped after 3, and they should have just waited till Super Nintendo came out and did the X series, because Mega Man fell off, okay? After 3, Mega Man fell off, and even 3 was pushing it, because I have actually tried to play 3, and 3 was almost unplayable. I was like, really? Wait, how am I supposed to be making these jumps? Like, this is impossible. Why is this shit flashing so fast?
But that is what the game was designed for. So you can use your cat-like ninja reflexes to make those jumps, the quick decisions that you had to make on the fly. While
the problem was with that, though, is, let me tell you, I'd love to be able to use my ninja reflexes if the game would allow me to move that fast.
You gotta anticipate it.
Oh, that's, now you're asking too much. You're asking too much. I do not want to have to do work when I go to play my platform.
See,
I do not want to do work.
And that is what Mario did for the American masses.
No.
Made people lazy when it came down. It's like, look, man, why I got to stand at the edge of this just to jump to barely make it on the other side? Why can't I have a fast running button to get over there and get over there quicker? And I can jump longer. I mean, the physics of it makes sense. But if you shoot the gun and you're wearing, let's say, you're shooting a gun and you're wearing some type of armor, you can't really run too much. We ain't going to make you run fast and jump because that looks too much like the competitor. So to keep Nintendo from suing us, because Nintendo was all about suing people with anything close to them.
Well, Mega Man was different enough that Nintendo would never have had a case for trying to sue Capcom. Because, first of all, the premise of the 8 Robot Masters, and you just one dude, and you taking their powers when you beat the Robot Masters, and you use those powers to defeat other Robot Masters, that's so far off from Mario in itself, in that Mario is the basis for the platforming, but his story is not.
No.
That is different.
But Nintendo will look at it as, oh, so you run fast just to jump farther? That's kind of messed up. Wait, what else did you do? Oh, you got Ghouls and Ghosts? Hey, that was platformer. What you think about, oh, so he automatically runs fast, so you ain't got to do it. Really? So he throws stuff. That's fine. I understand he throws stuff. And he's not changing colors, is he? Because if he changed colors, we'll sue the crap out of Capcom.
You know what? Screw them. Let me tell you something about Ghouls and Ghosts. That's a terrible game, too.
That game was awful.
That game is terrible. Jamie is running away from the conversation. But Ghouls and Ghosts was terrible. I don't even know why anybody thought that game was... I don't mind hard games. And I don't want stuff handed to me on a platter, but Ghouls and Ghosts made things unnecessarily difficult. Ghouls and Ghosts didn't need to be that hard. It really didn't. it was not a triumph in game design either. Making me replay through the game just so I can get one stupid item and then get all the way back to the end just to get the final boss is stupid. That's almost as bad as Animaniacs making you, if you didn't get all the pages of the script from the show, they made you go all the way back to the beginning and get all the pages of the script so you could come back and actually fight Pinky and the Brain and get the actual true ending. That's quite possibly one of the stupidest. You know, actually, come to think of it, I think that's a Capcom design, too. That's one of the stupidest game mechanics I have ever heard of in my entire life. And that makes a game bad. If you have piss-poor game mechanics, it's terrible. You need to stop. Yeah, I mean, if you got bad game mechanics, terrible. You really need to go back to drawing board on your games. You really need to rethink that stuff. Such as, speaking of bad game mechanics, Crazy Taxi 2 on Dreamcast. I love Crazy Taxi, don't get me wrong. I do. I love Crazy Taxi. But, Crazy Taxi 2 is quite possibly one of the worst games I've ever played. The Game Boy version, Crazy Taxi Catch a Ride on Game Boy Advance, that is one of the worst games I've ever played. It is terrible. It is nothing like actual Crazy Taxi. It's like Crazy Taxi in spirit, but it's not really Crazy Taxi because they couldn't get the entire game. They couldn't get the game all on one cartridge. It's too big. And so they had to make some sacrifices and a few concessions. And the concessions that they made, aka the graphics, are terrible. The game is nigh unplayable. I've actually tried to play it, and I was wounded. I was wounded in my attempt to play it. I played it one time, and I said I would never play it again. So, but let me tell you why Crazy Taxi 2 is terrible. You know how some games just try too hard to be what they're supposed to be in a series? This one was trying too hard. Like, Crazy Taxi 2 tries too hard to be Crazy Taxi. It's got the four cabbies who drive around New York City, in this case, New York City, who spout off these one-liners as they're picking up passengers and dropping them off in an allotted time, trying to get a speedy rating so they can make as much money as possible. That's the gist of Crazy Taxi, okay? Well, Crazy Taxi 2 takes that and tries to be a little bit too more Crazy Taxi. It just, the graphics are awful. The music is still, it's love or hate it. Either you love it or you don't. And just so I should throw this in, that just so you know, we're going to be talking about, I'm doing a review for Crazy Taxi 2 in the second quarter, 2011. So, you know, keep an eye out for it. I had to play through the game again and get pictures, and it wasn't fun. But anyway, I own the game. Suffice to say, I own the game because I got it ages ago from a friend of mine, and I just kept it. But it was a recent playthrough again that made me realize this is not a very good game. The besides the graphics and the music, I mean, because you can turn the music off, but the cars all control like they have lead in them, in the engine. Like, I mean, just lead in the engine. It is not, there is no sensation of speed whatsoever. This is a game that's about speeding. The game is about speeding, so I need to feel like I'm speeding around New York City. And, additionally, whoever decided that driving around New York City was a good idea for Crazy Taxi should be slapped. And they should no longer work for Sega. Because it's not a good idea. The roads are too cramped. You don't have any space to do anything. And the hopping technique really doesn't, it doesn't do anything for the game because they added hopping in. It doesn't do anything. It's, okay, so you can jump. You can now manually do a crazy jump. Wow. How is this? And yeah, they make some places, and you can tell they had to figure out a way to justify adding the jump. So like in Small Apple, they'll make you jump to a new, to an area, and that's where you drop off the passenger instead of just being on the street. But they had to justify adding the hop technique in there somewhere. And it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
Well, to me, Crazy Taxi itself was it wasn't a remarkable game, but the concept was different. Everybody played Crazy Taxi 1 because it was a good idea. One-player game, you make money, you see how your skills do compared to everyone else. That's fine. 2, each car handled differently. It was also a good concept. It took place in, you know, San Francisco. Who doesn't want to speed around the streets of San Francisco as fast as they can, jumping hills?
Yeah.
I mean, that right there is fine. The music, you know, it kind of looped, but it was okay because, you know,
you learned the looping of the music.
You learned the looping of the music, but it went well with the game, what was going on.
Yeah.
So, now, graphically, I mean, there's times you turn down the street, you look down the rope and everything, you're like, oh, it's water down there, you know, maybe it's the ocean or something down there that we're about to go to. No big deal. Until you go a little further down the road and all of a sudden this building shows up in front of you.
Yeah.
And not to mention,
the drawing is terrible.
The arrow, even on the arcade, the arrow sits there and it's like, you must turn right. Hey, you're going the wrong way. So you turn around to go the way the arrow's telling you, then the arrow tells you, hey, you're going the wrong way.
Hey, you're going the wrong way. Follow the arrow. And I'm like, oh my God, stop. But let me tell you, in the original game, you know, on the original map, because, you know, there's the arcade map, and then there's the original map that they created just for the Dreamcast version. The original map, you learn pretty quickly, just learn the layout of the map. Just learn the layout. Ignore the arrow. Because the arrow will get you lost and get you a bad rating and a heartbeat. It will completely screw you over in some instances. And yes, the drawing is so terrible. The clipping is awful. You will see people go through buildings. I have seen people do barrel rolls to get away from me, you know, driving down the street, and they barrel roll through a car and into a building. And I'm like, Sega, come on. This is not cute.
Well, you gotta expect that. I mean, they allow you to drive your cab convertible into the water and drive at the bottom of the water to jump up on the other side and everything's okay.
Yeah. You're not drowned.
So,
and you can run into buildings and not go through the building. So,
and the first thing you should realize that all that's possible is when you realize, in order to speed up, you hit down the reverse and then hit the drive again. Instead of your transmission falling out the bottom of your car, you go faster. So,
well, actually, I don't hit reverse. You gotta hit the drive. You hit the drive, the accelerator pedal, and the drive thing on what's supposed to be on your transmission. Basically, is what it is. But my thing is, yeah, I realize that. Yeah, that mechanic, the crazy dash, is ridiculous and pretty unrealistic.
So I don't pay it any attention. Now when it comes to Crazy Taxi 2, which I didn't play, well, I watched many people play Crazy Taxi 2. I've come to realize, like, well, one, only hardcore people are going to want to drive in the streets of New York.
Yeah.
Two, what part of the streets of New York that these cars have spaced out this far?
Yeah, that's why I had a problem. Yeah.
Three, how come it just looks like you just modified the first game, took out the hills, put taller buildings there, and added a jump feature?
Yeah, that's basically what it was. So, that's basically what it was. And the graphics are a little bit more cleaned up. The UI, the user interface, is a little bit better. But do you know what I don't like about the second game? And I realized this today. And I've been playing this game now for like 10 years.
That it mocks the first one?
Well, yeah, it mocks the first one. But it takes everything that was fun about the first game and just sucks it right on out the window. I mean, just gone. Everything that was fun about that first game is just gone. This is not fun. The game is not fun. Now, the end credits music is pretty good, but because it's Methods of Mayhem. But and I have that track saved somewhere. But it's everything that was so awesome about the first Crazy Taxi. If there's any way to screw up Crazy Taxi, they did it. And I was just like, y'all need to be slapped for this. This is not cute. This is not cute at all. So having gone back and played it after 10 years, I was appalled at the level of quality in this game. Maybe it's because I've come full circle now, and I'm older, and I expect more from my games. But going back and playing that, I was ashamed to say that I ever played the second Crazy Taxi. The first one I'll play all day long. I could sit up and play that all day long. And I have, actually. I spent 3 hours one night playing the original and playing an original map and not using any cheat codes or anything. I got $42,000. I got a score of 42,000, which is pretty hard to do in arcade, in under arcade rules in original. That's pretty hard to do. I mean, you got to play for a long time, and you got to pick up a lot of people. I picked up about 80 people, and I even did the glitch in the beginning where, depending on who you have, and actually you could do it with everybody, but mostly everybody except, what's his name? The guy who drives the really big one. I want to say it's Gus. But when you do the glitch, you got a crazy drift. You pick up your first person, or you can do it at any point, but you can only do it one time. So you crazy drift. At the very end, when you're dropping somebody off and you can slide into the building and it'll hang on the building and give you like, it'll keep giving you a crazy drift combo. And you can get like, I've gotten up to 30 on a crazy drift combo on that. 30, 31. And so it multiplies, you know, you get more crazy drifts and whatever. The more your combo increases, the more money you make. So, you know, you can easily get about $2,000 to $3,000 off of one fare doing that glitch. But, I mean, even doing the glitch, and I still had to play for like 3 hours and still had to pick up like 80 people before I ran out of time, basically. So I got about 42,000 with Axel. I've gotten, with Gina and BD Joe, I've gotten like 30,000, 35,000, that kind of stuff. Like, I have to go back and look at my records. I know I've gotten 37 with BD Joe. But, I mean, it's not hard to do, but it shows a level of mastery. And that's what I like about the first game. You had to know what you were doing. To do well at that game, you kind of had to know what you were doing. And you had to play it. The second game, you can play that and get $5,000 easily on your first try. Like, it's not even really trying to challenge you very much. So, I don't... Suffice to say, I'm not a fan of Crazy Taxi 2 or any of the sequels after that. But read my review, because I was not kind to it, and I wrote an awful lot. I think I wrote almost 2,000 words on this alone. I'll probably have to go in and edit it down a little bit, but yeah, my review is pretty long, and it's not very nice to the game.
Huh. Only thing I can say about Crazy Taxi 2 was, it seems easy enough for everyone to play, but they made it also for those skilled players. They gave you multiple people that you don't have enough time to drop off in time.
Yeah.
You're like, you got four people in there, and it's like, you got four people to drop off in 60 seconds.
Yeah.
So you got 60 seconds, and of course, you drop one person off. You drop the next person off who's like less than a block away. You drop the third person off who's right behind where the third person, second person got dropped off, and the fourth person is all the way across town.
Yeah, and what makes me mad is they not only do not give you enough time, but you don't get any of the money.
No.
If you don't successfully drop off the multiple number of people, you do not get the money. And I'm like, well, that was a waste of my arcade time right there. Like, especially under arcade rules, it doesn't give you enough time, so you're wasting time by picking up multiple people, thus discounting one of the new features that they included in the game.
And one of the things about it being in New York and everything that always got me is, you're in New York, you travel along the city routes, how come there's no back alleys or anything that you can cut through to start cutting down time?
You can, but it's not as near, nowhere near as prevalent as it should be.
There's no way, it's not that many to show up.
Yeah.
You got this jump feature, but the buildings are too high for you to jump on top of most of them to keep going to help you on time. The cars are, well, you know, one, the cars are all spaced out. With everything you see in New York and anything, you never see cars spaced out like that.
It ain't enough room. It ain't enough. enough room. My question was, where are all these cars coming from? If this is why it was a bad idea to pick New York, aside from the fact that, you know, spacing is at a premium in New York, but where are all these cars coming from? People don't have cars in New York City. They really don't. No. They really do not have cars.
If it was a bunch of taxis, it would make sense. But it's not a bunch of taxis.
No, or it's not buses, all taxis.
Or buses. And actually, yeah. I don't remember seeing a bus at all. I remember seeing trucks.
It's a few buses, but it's nowhere near as many as, say, like in the original when you could, you know, run into a bus and on every corner.
Yes.
But my problem was, I was like, where are all these cars coming from? People don't drive in New York City. Like, there are some people who drive.
I mean, there could be a lot of cars, but when you see cars, there's either a lot of them or not that many of them.
Yeah, they most people commute in.
And apparently what you're doing on this game is you're there when not that many people are there, which doesn't make sense because all these other people are standing on the street talking about I need to get somewhere.
Yeah. Hey, don't refuse me.
So that was the reason why I didn't mess with that. Now,
talking about terrible driving games.
Oh, hard driving is horrible. it's supposed to be a racing, well, it was supposed to be a realistic simulator. It was 3D. Now, for its time, there was not any 3D games out that much, I should say. And they had a manual transmission in there, which is cool, and it actually worked just like a manual transmission. You had your ignition switch. You had rear view mirrors set up so you could see it, although you didn't have to adjust it. Had a speedometer. In hindsight, it still looked blocky, but I can understand they tried to do a first-person mode. But for it to be a realistic racing game, I didn't know any races since the dawn of racing that had a loop-de-loop in the middle of the track. Yes. Not only is a loop-de-loop, but you got to be doing at least 70 miles an hour to do the loop-de-loop to continue on the track. And
because if you don't, you will fly off and they'll play that god-awful music.
The only music that's pretty much on the game. Well, they got the music that starts up, the intro, the demonstration music, you know, to attract your attention. And then they have that horrible music that when you die, where it sounds like the man must be on drugs or something. And the only thing he can come up with, because they gave him, they decided back in the 80s to give him like $3,000, just come up with one melody, and he can pick one hand up, it's like, dun, 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 and that's all he has. Two.
That's terrible.
Two, for this realistic racing game that takes place out in the country, you have, apparently the fuel gauge on there, you start out with a full tank of gas. So you got to start your car up. Now, if you pick manual transmission, that means you have to mash in the clutch. So you start your car up. You already lost a quarter of a tank there. that's what it seems like. Because you're timed on this. Not only you worry about time, you also worry about gas, which apparently you get refueled at the end of each lap. But the laps are so long that you just barely make it anyway. I've literally crossed the checkpoint because my car had already ran out of gas and it was rolling to a stop. Then it speeds up. Of course, now you ain't got that much time because they give you less time than you had in the first place.
What? This is terrible.
This game is horrible. So you start up the game. And there's a speed limiter sign up there saying you must do 35 miles an hour because there's a fork in the road. So you drive. The car in front of you is not doing 35. You see they're doing about 50. For some reason or another, the car in front of you decides right at the top of the hill, it needs to slow down. So it slows down. You run into the back of the car. Your windshield cracks and also your car blows up. I ain't figured that out. That car that you hit, that you ran in into the back of,
which
usually looks like a Corvette, continues to keep going, you blow up. So then, all right, fine. So you start over.
You must be driving a Pinto.
So you start over. No, you're supposed to be. It's a sports car of some kind. I see it. So you start over. You start up. The timer's running before you even start up the car. Well, I take that back. The timer doesn't start till you try to start up the car. Now, most games, if you got to start up a car and the timer starts, your car starts up right there as soon as the 1 second count. 2 seconds go by before your car actually starts.
What?
Then you start driving. Then you start driving and say, okay, so you decide to drive into oncoming traffic to prevent from this car in front of you to slam on brakes, because he does it every single time.
Yeah.
All right, so you're doing 50 miles per hour up this hill. For some reason, at 50 miles an hour, you become airborne. Your car doesn't land right.
You crash.
You nosedive in front of, your windshield cracks, you blow up. You hit the abort button. Now you gotta press, you gotta start the car up again using ignition. You right here, this is before you even get to the fork. So now you gotta decide. Do I take the easy way, which is extremely long, or the short way that has the loop-de-loop? Let's take the short way. So you turn it off, you see a barn with cows standing out in front of, and you see, you know, gas station, which doesn't even make any sense. You see the gas station. You travel down the road, and there's all of a sudden this truck, for no reason, as you're going down this hill, this truck comes up the hill on the wrong side of the road. How do you supposed to know that? If you're going fast enough, you'll jump over the truck. The problem is, when you land, the windshield crack, and you blow up. If you realize the truck is there, if you realize the truck is there, you stop. The truck runs into you, your windshield cracks, and you blow up. If you dodge the truck, do 25 miles per hour, you're not going to make it to the end of the checkpoint in time before you run out of gas. So what I've learned, there's a balance. There's a balance of what you have to do. When you're coming down the hill, you got to be somewhere between 45 miles, somewhere in the 45 mile per hour range. The speed limit says 65. Well, 65 will have your windshield cracked and you blow up. So,
the problem here is...
Here's the problem.
The problem here, dear listeners, is that I've actually seen this in action. This is why I'm laughing so hard. It's because I've actually seen all this in action. And the first thing I said was, what in the shit are you playing this? This is terrible.
So here's the problem. So you pass the truck doing 45 miles per hour. At the bottom of the hill is the loop-de-loop. You must do at least 70 miles an hour to do the loop-de-loop.
You're not going
to
be fast enough to get up there.
By now, you're at half a tank of gas. The problem is, your car decreases speed as you're going up the loop-de-loop. So you must do more than 70 miles an hour to go up the loop-de-loop. But you lose control of your vehicle if you're going too fast, so you might fly off the loop-de-loop. But your windshield will crack, and your car blows up. So you hit the abort button.
And I've seen him fly out of the loop-de-loop before, and I was like, what in the shit? You just flew out the loop-de-loop.
Because you can turn the steering wheel all you want to. There's no control of it, because apparently gravity says, you're going to move to the right. I'm holding down to the left. I'm doing 90 miles an hour. I'm gonna make it. You're at the top of the loop to loop, and all of a sudden you just fall down.
Yeah.
Or you make it over the loop to loop. Your car speeds up. You're doing 100 miles an hour. There's a truck right there in front of you. You hit the truck. Your windshield crack.
And you blow up.
Oh, okay.
We even got to the train.
So you make it past that part. After many trials, most people do make it past that part because you try to figure out what to go. Then this is the short way. The long way involves some ridiculous stuff, which you know I've never seen anyone make it to the other side of the long way, which is the easy way. So you're driving along. There's another hill to go down. There's where the train is at.
You got to jump the gap.
You can try to jump the gap if the train's not coming, depending on your speed. If you stop, the car behind is going to push you into the train. If you're not going fast enough, the train's going to hit you. If you jump the train and you don't land perfectly on the other side because you're not doing the right speed, your windshield will crack and you'll blow up. Now you have to do all this by the time and make it to the checkpoint in order for you to get 30 more seconds added on to what you had. I've always made it within like 10 seconds left. So now I've got 40 seconds. To go to the next checkpoint, which is much further away than the one I originally had to go to from the beginning. Needless to say,
Goodness gracious.
This game
is shitty.
This game, although it says realistic, it's not very realistic. One, again, I've never seen a loop-de-loop on any racetrack. Two, I've never seen a car run out of gas in 60 seconds with a full tank. I mean, they must have, the miles per gallon on that must have been like
0.2.
Yeah, like 0.007 or something like that, miles per gallon. And you got to do the speed limit. Well, if you do the speed limit, you're never going to make it to the end of the track. But if you don't do within the speed limit, your car's going to blow up.
Mm.
So this is a race game.
Hard driving.
Yes, it's hard driving. I mean, the name is fun. And they made another one. It was the race.
I don't know what it was.
I can't remember what the second one was. It was supposed to be a little easier, but hard driving pretty much did it for me.
And we've talked about hard driving before in our, I can't remember what episode that was. Let's see, what episode was that? It was Classic Gaming Collections. That would be episode 14. Y'all need to listen to that one because we got in depth about hard driving. And yes, I was laughing the whole time then too because that game is terrible. It is one of the worst games I have ever seen. I've tried playing it once and I was like, this is an abomination. This is an abomination. Midway, you need to stop making games. Matter of fact, that's why you went out of business right there. You need to stop making games.
They stopped making a racing game like that long before then. I mean, I think they realized after those two games, they were just going to stop. But then, you know, people just keep making games that are like, you know, we put the name out there. People are going to like the name of the game. They're going to automatically buy it. Such as Knight Rider. Big popular name. People are going to want to play this game, right? Yes. Until you find out the game has nothing to do like Knight Rider title says.
Nope.
You're in a car. You're traveling at a speed. The car's supposed to be indestructible. How come another car hits you and you blow up? The only thing that has anything to do with Knight Rider.
Oh, that was Spy Hunter.
Yes, that was Spy Hunter.
That was off game too.
Well, Spy Hunter was a good game, but this is pretty much what Knight Rider was taken off of. They decided to make this first person view of you driving around in kit. Well, that is the 1980s Knight Rider. So you're driving around in the Pontiac, which of course no longer exists. You're driving around in the Pontiac. You're doing a nice, decent speed. The car's supposed to be bulletproof and indestructible.
People shooting at you.
Your car can blow up. You got to make it to a certain, and no one really says you got to make it to a certain point in time. No one knows why you're driving on this road. You come out of a truck, and you're supposed to make it back into a truck. You have no idea why, what this game is about. The only thing you know is Knight Rider is because they try to play the theme music at the beginning. That is the only thing you know of Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Other than that, you're in a car. There's a digital display. People are trying to kill you. And for some reason, you're driving across the nation. You're trying to get from California, from I think it's California to like New York or something like that. And you're supposed to do it within a fair amount of time. But if a curve coming up and you're doing 80 miles an hour, you fall off the curve, you blow up.
What is it about these people and making cars blow up? What is this?
You do it at a certain speed limit, you can make it around there, but you might not make it to the checkpoint in time.
Terrible.
So, I'm thankful enough that, as far as I know, they only made one Knight Rider game. I'm thankful enough that after Knight Rider came back, that they didn't make another Knight Rider game.
That would be helpful if they didn't.
So, but at that time, you know, there was a series of bad games that take place. Games that sound like they should be extremely awesome, but end up being awesomely terrible.
Such as?
Silver Surfer.
Oh, God! Stop!
The Silver Surfer. I thought, when I heard about it, and I was like, you know, it's a good game. It should be a good game. This man is almost indestructible. Unbelievable powers.
It's hell.
This should be awesome. What's gonna stop? It's like a Superman game.
He's the Herald of Galactics.
But it's like a Superman game. Superman is so indestructible. Why put him in a video game who's going to stop? Unless they carry around some kryptonite or something.
And they can fly through rings.
Yes, and make them fly through rings.
And mist.
So.
Kryptonite mist.
Silver Surfer is coming down to inspect these planets so Galactus can destroy them. While the planet pulls up a full defense, to which the agile Silver Surfer cannot always dodge every single one of them. There's this one point, and Nola, there's so many projectiles coming at you at not any kind of order. When I mean order, there's no pattern to it. Nope. There's no way possible you can dodge it. And one hit kills you.
What?
Yeah, one hit will kill you. Two, you have these mutated fish that can seem to jump 80 stories out of this water. Now, I affect the people that's around you trying to kill you. But they will hit you, and you will die.
And I don't even understand that part.
The best thing about the Silver Surfer is after you die, he always has this... He's kneeling down with his hands over his face, and he's like, "Dear God, please don't let them hit the start button." So you hit the start button. And it would be fine if the same things would keep happening.
No.
But again, there is no pattern. The only way you really can go on to the next level is you really become lucky. It's one of those times.
Or you got some colds on.
Yeah, maybe the colds. But it's one of the, well, even with colds and everything, there's still places where you can die.
Unbelievable.
There's still places where you die where people will jump up and hit you, which I ain't figured out how people jump up all the way in the sky anyway and hit you. No jetpack, hit you with a knife and you die. Yeah.
He's Silver Surfer.
He's the Silver Surfer. Who doesn't do any... I mean, he shoots and anything, but it's not the same. I mean, if mutated fish can jump up and bite you out the sky, and, you know, projectiles to come from nowhere, there's no way possible you can dodge. So you can die? Did I mention you can die a lot on Silver Surfer? Did I mention...
Which don't even make sense, because he's like invisible.
There's many, many times that I've seen Silver Surfer in the "Oh dear God, don't hit the start button" mode. Many times. You become comfortable seeing Silver Surfer in the "Oh God, don't hit the start button" mode. The problem is, each time you hit the start button, you gotta start back over. From that level you just finished, you gotta start back over and try to make it.
I understand.
I've never finished the Silver Surfer. Ever. Actually, I didn't play it that often until recently again.
Is this going to be one of your first?
It's probably going to be one of my first tortures ever. Because I try to stomach as much of the Silver Surfer I can. So do not be surprised if you see many, many photos of Silver Surfer and the "Dear God, please don't hit the start button" mode. So, Silver Surfer was bad.
Another one that was really bad was TMNT.
That game was horrible.
Now, folks, we have just covered TMNT in our TMNT issue. And I'm talking about TMNT for the NES, the 1989 version. We just covered this and in our TMNT issue, along with TMNT Game Boy versions. And we talked about just how horrible these games were. TMNT got 2 reviews by itself, which is unusual because normally we have one someone pick the game and they review, you know, they pick what they review and they write about it and that's it. But TMNT had 2 people reviewing it because it was that bad. Both people felt they really wanted to talk about that. So I was like, y'all go right on ahead. If you want to do that, we'll run it. Suffice to say, it was not good.
The game was horrible. Horrible being an understatement. One, it almost seemed like they had nothing to do with turtles. It was like, this is the game we're going to design. Oh, yeah, let's put turtles in there so we can sell.
Because they're going to be hot on the street.
Because you fight against guys that have chainsaws, bats, and some other creatures that you have no idea what they are. Never seen them before. Occasionally, you know, they have stuff like the Foot Clan and Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah, Bebop and Rocksteady, yeah.
I was like, but other than that, the people you run against too in the city and the sewers, you're like, what is this? Why is this in the sewer? Wait, Why is this guy walking around in the sewer with a chainsaw? Why is this guy that I can hit, his head flies off and continues to try to hit me? Why is it that I'm a turtle and I'm trying to defuse the bombs at the dam, and there's electrified seaweed all over the place, top and bottom. Top and bottom. And I got a time limit. Oh, and my brother died, and I was just having no one come along. And the bomb just blew up, killing your brother. So how are you back out there trying to defuse the bomb?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
So, that game was horrible. It's like, we want to make this an RPG, but we don't want to make it an RPG. We don't know who to put in there. Let's put some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in there, because they'll make money. That's what's hot on the streets right now. We'll do it. Oh, the people didn't like it? They didn't like it because, you know, it wasn't really a turtle game? Well, we'll just make another turtle game later on. And we'll make it justice. But in the meantime, we won't tell too many people about how bad this game is.
Yeah.
And people just kept buying. That game was horrible.
It was quite horrible. I have accidentally had to play through it, and it was terrible. I was like, this game is one of the worst I have ever played.
I was misled. From the beginning of the game, when you press start and everything, you see those bird's eye views, like, what is this? Oh, it's an open sewer. Let's go in there. So you go in the sewer. What is all these creatures down here in the sewer? I've never seen this many creatures. What is this dog-like thing that keep running out? What's this bat? Why is this man walking around in the sewer on this platform that's on these walls, which I've never seen in a sewer, with a chainsaw, and I got to defeat him? So I come out the sewer. I see another sewer hole, for some reason, in the middle of the street that's open. So I jump into that. It's the same sewer I just came out of.
Yep. Yeah, the map thing was not done very well.
So you come out of that and you find out there's enemy tanks running all over the place in on the street, looking for you that you'd never seen before.
Yeah, all of a sudden the foot has a party vehicle, like your turtle party van.
Yep. You got to go all these different places because you're looking for April. The best thing against me is April and Splinter both says, look for me for support. How do we look to you for support? You're never there to give us any more advice. The really cool thing about it, though, is you can change which turtle you want to use, which I always picked Donatello first because he had to reach. The really bad thing about it is the jumping skills suck because there are places where you couldn't. If you jumped, you wouldn't make it to the other platform. And when situations like that arise, if you don't jump, you just walk across the platform. Although it looks like, you know, you have to jump to go across. Or, there's so many things on the screen that you get hit by. And each time there's many cases, you gotta walk down the path, walk up a ladder while killing enemies along the way. Go to the other end while you're on top of the ladder to the other end of the platform, above the door you just came in of, and then go back. Of course, all the enemies are respawned.
Mm-hmm.
So, that game was horrible. I absolutely detest that game.
The Game Boy version wasn't no better. Oh my gosh, they're awful. It is one of the few games I have ever really decided I was going to give maybe a 0 out of 5 rating if I had to give something a numbered rating. It's terrible. It's terrible. It is one of the worst games I have ever played on the Game Boy. And there are some bad games on the Game Boy to begin with. I'm not even going to get into why I hate the game other than the Game Boy games. You're going to take hits regardless. You can't get away from it. Like, kind of like Ninja Gaiden. You're really not. You can't escape getting hit. It's designed to be a quarter muncher, basically.
Well, at least they got a meter on there for you, though.
Yeah, kind of. Sort of. Still don't do you any good.
Nope. Doesn't do you good on TMNT either, where you know you're going to get hit. There's spots where the creature spawn right where you walk in at. I walk into this building. There's a door. I mean, you walk into the door, there's a creature already hitting you before you even physically know what's going on. So, and the best part about it is the creatures blend in with the background so you can't see when they're coming.
Yeah.
So, that game was horrible.
Yeah. Another game that was based off of, you know, an already established property that was horrible was Friday the 13th. And we have several games on our list of terrible games based on movies. Terminator 2 on NES and Super NES. Dirty Harry
was never
Friday the 13th.
Dirty Harry was never officially finished because you could tell where they started and it's like, oh, we could add something here. And it's just completely blank. Or there's cases where you have these bullets, but there's no place anywhere that you can get ammo for. I should say, you have a weapon, but you can't get ammo for the bullets that you have. But people can show up out of places, shoot at you, and you can't retaliate back because they hide before you even pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, Friday the 13th. Mortal Kombat Gold is based off of Mortal Kombat 4, which, you know, is based off of Mortal Kombat. All is terrible. Just terrible. I mean, Friday the 13th, we've talked about Friday the 13th and why it's terrible. But listen to our Hard Early Games. I think it was in Hard Early Games. That was episode 7 and 8. And Horror Games of Yesteryear. That was episode 10. I know we talked about it in episode 10 and probably episode 11, which is movie video games, the good, bad, and the ugly. I know we talked about Friday the 13th in episodes 10 and 11. We had to. But definitely, Friday the 13th goes on that list because it's terrible. It's almost unplayable. It is. It requires random luck to...
It's boring at first, and then when you get to the sliding parts, you know, it's like extremely difficult.
Yes.
Jason can show up out of anywhere, which is normal. But the problem is, you can't really do anything to stop him, and you got to save the counselors. Well, the counselors all decided, you know, we don't know what's going on, we're just going to hide. There's no reason why they're hiding. They don't know anything about Jason. They're just hiding. But Jason seems to be constantly after you. And you're in the woods, you're fighting against dogs, which I've never seen in a movie. You're fighting against dogs, you fight against bats, which, even though it's daytime, you know, you might see them in the woods. Then it gets dark, you got to worry about Jason showing up, who he's random. And these cabins, which are like not that big, you walk into the cabin, you got to guide yourself through the cabin. In a first-person playthrough. So you walk around these corners either expecting to A, see a counselor, or B, run into Jason. A lot of times, it's neither one of them. They give these offhand clues, such as, Susan likes to go to the cabin in the woods. So,
what the hell? You
look at the map. All the cabins are in the woods.
Yes. That's what I was like, what the hell?
Jerry likes to take for a walk up above the lake. Well, the whole camp is around the lake.
What in the world?
So, really, you know, you got to find out by chance because none of the counselors are ever in the same spot. So, again, Jason can show up anywhere, and Jason follows you. He chases you. For some reason, he chases you more than the counselor. But you do get alert letting you know that Jason's attempting to kill one of these counselors. But you don't know where he's at. You have no idea. Or they'll say that Jason's in this house. Well, in the movie, you never know Jason's in that house because you're trying to stop Jason. So how can you know now? And you can never get there in time because Jason's always on the opposite end of the map than where you're at when he's going to kill this counselor. How are you supposed to know that Susan decided she's going to be at the camp? She's going to be in the cabin in the woods north of the lake. How are you supposed to know that? Oh, you're supposed to talk to the kids. Well, where the kids at? You have no idea where the kids at. So now you got to find the kids and lead them to safety. Well, Jason's still out there. And it made you think that Jason's coming after kids. But he's only after counselor. You being a counselor, guess who Jason's after? So, I thought, this has nothing to do with the movie. This is bad. Jason's unstoppable. I'm trying to save people's lives, and I don't think you can save everybody's life. I think it's destined that Jason's going to at least get one person.
Yeah.
I'm going to say he is. So, that game's bad. That game's horrible.
Yeah.
Dirty Harry being, you know, a movie game that came out like 18 years after the movie came out. Wasn't that long, really. But it came out in the, I want to say the early 90s, maybe the game came out. And never really officially finished. Was like extremely, what's the best word? It's like they came up with a format of what NARC would be, they made it worse.
NARC, as if NARC could get any worse. NARC is terrible.
Well, there's nothing wrong with NARC, because what NARC's concept was, we're fighting the war on drugs. The problem with NARC is, we're going to fight the war on drugs on the same level that the drug dealers do. You get the option to either take the person in or kill them. Which is pretty much what Dirty Harry did decide to do. Taking the bad guy and kill him. This is why he always became Dirty Harry. The problem is, Dirty Harry doesn't give you the option. You just automatically start killing. And no matter where Dirty Harry is at, unlike the movie, everybody on the street wants to kill Dirty Harry.
Yes.
Except for, you know, the homeless person that shows up in the middle of nowhere in a game gunfight, and you fire a couple rounds off at the people who's in the place in front of you, and you kill the guy off. So, that game was horrible because, one, it was uncompleted.
Yeah.
Two, it's a movie game, and most movie games on any of the Nintendo systems, it wasn't very good.
So, like the Batman game. The Batman game wasn't that bad.
Yeah, some of them weren't bad, but the ones that are not that bad are usually one based on the movie.
Yeah.
So.
We need to talk about Mortal Kombat Gold. Because this is a special case on Dreamcast. This is a special case. This was a launch title. But it is one of the worst games I have ever played. It's almost unfinished. It's like they forgot to go back in and clean it up.
Well, the problem with Gold that I realize is it was like Dreamcast said, me too. I want Mortal Kombat 4, but it's got to be different. So we'll add you two characters. We won't change. We just change these characters a little bit and everything. They still got the same move. We make them faster, but graphically it doesn't seem right. Like Katana throw a fan and doesn't, you know, twirl in the air like it used to.
Yeah.
It's like he just goes straight out, and it grinds them. And you're like, how does that grind it?
Their running animation is crazy too.
Yep.
It looks strange.
And then the Cyrax that, you know, they decided, you know, we'll just add these two characters on there because they're popular. People want to buy that, right? And I was like, it's not necessarily the same thing. I mean,
Cyrax was not in. Was Cyrax in Mortal Kombat 4?
No.
That's what I thought.
Katana and Cyrax were entered on Gold. And who else was it?
Sektor. Sektor was. They added him in Gold.
So, I mean, now, granted, compared to the people who originally was in 4 down in Gold, the addition people were completely broken. Like, if you decide to play Quan Chi versus any one of the people that added, you automatically was going to lose. Because they were that much faster. They made them complete badasses. Because the physics, the way that Mortal Kombat 4 was designed, were completely different than the games that these other characters were on. And they didn't seem to change it that much.
No.
So, Katana could end up doing these completely broken combos that she couldn't do before because they allowed it on 4.
Yeah.
So, you can do, you can jump up there for a fan, run over there before the fan stops, do an airlift, and then continue all kinds of things. Of course, then, you know, you got a maximum combo, but you can just continue it all over again. And it ran funny. It was like they were doing a speed walk.
Yeah, the running animation was crazy looking.
It was like a speed walk, so. And it's like, okay, there were 2D characters, and we make them more 3D-ish, and they got a sidestep, so that's how we're going to fix it. Didn't make sense.
And already, Mortal Kombat 4 looked like ass to start with. It really did. It did not look very good.
Graphically, it wasn't the best Mortal Kombat, best looking game.
That engine was crap.
But some of the things they did, I did like the fact that you can put in your manual combos to try to come up with creative combos. I like that part because they went back to 1 and 2. Yeah. I did enjoy that part.
Yeah. I did like that.
I like the fact that you can pull out weapons because, you know, you're having a fight and there's not really any rules except for you can win. I can see how you pull out weapons. It's kind of cartoony how they did it. You know, like Scorpion said, pretty much sounds like he's saying, hold on right there for a minute. And he pulls out the sword from nowhere. That's I understand. Raiden pull out this hammer that's the size of him. I mean, it's okay. It's creative how you're trying to get combos in that. That was fine. But sometimes, being Mortal Kombat the way Mortal Kombat is, the AI was psychic. Was more psychic on 4 than it have ever been. Like, there's this big giant head on the ground that you can use as a weapon to throw.
Yes.
Well, once you bend down, you automatically throw. The computer knows as soon as you stand on there, before you even bend down, they've already sidestepped and running towards you while you're still in the throw animation. There's nothing you can do about it. Or Rico, which is one of my favorites, who's completely broken in that game, where you throw, he does his teleport spin, which is supposed to do a 3D all the way around to behind you, and you're still in the throw animation, but now you're face-to-face with him. Although he showed up behind you. Now you're face-to-face with him, and the head's falling off the screen. And Rico's opened up, doing a nice little combo, and he does. Or the really bad thing is someone does a grab to break a limb, and you're trying to pop the limb back in place, and they continue a combo. That was broken. But,
yeah.
Against the computer, you had a more fair chance, depending on you wasn't up to the fourth person. On goal for the Dreamcast, they decided that, Dreamcast is a better system, so we'll show, how smart we can be. So Midway is like, we'll throw this stuff in there. People like that, right?
I know. It was, I did not like 4, and I stopped playing Mortal Kombat after 3. After the 3 Ultimate Trilogy combination, I stopped playing Mortal Kombat. When 4 came out, I tried playing it, and I was just like, this is not working. This is crappy looking, and Scorpion is now useless because I can't do a spear combo anymore. Computer just gonna sidestep it and run over there and uppercut me.
Sometimes, yes. But what we learned about Scorpion and everything is you don't do a spear combo to start it. You do it once you've already started a combo. You have to run in and do the combo and then do a spear.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
Yeah. But still, I never liked Mortal Kombat 4 and anything after. And I definitely didn't like Mortal Kombat Gold. I thought it was trash. I got it. I did get it because I was like, okay, I'll try it again. I'm going to try 4 again and I'm going to try to give it a chance again, but this is it. And I played Gold. I made the mistake of fooling with Gold, and it was one of the worst games I have ever played.
Yeah, Gold's bad. Gold's bad. I think on the Mortal Kombat 4, 64 got the highest rating.
Yeah,
Gold. Gold was really bad though.
Yeah, I think 64 version did get that.
Well, 64 was closer to the arcade version, except for you. The only thing was you didn't have an arcade stick.
Yeah.
But it was close to it. I mean, it ran the same way. You could do the same combos. Everything was perfect.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think Gold was just bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of stuff on 64, Diddy Kong Racing. That game was terrible, too. It was terrible.
I tried not to play that game because I knew what they would do. Being in Nintendo, you must try to copy a game that we've already know is good. So, we got Mario 64, so this must be like Mario 64. We'll show Nintendo.
Well, it was terrible because I was like, they tried to copy Mario Kart 64 and it didn't work. And introducing the different types of planes and crap, the plane mechanics were stupid. Like, they forced you to fly through rings and crap.
I can tell you right now, if you got a racing game, you got vehicles on the ground and you got vehicles in the air, the vehicles in the air are going to win.
They should.
So, but a lot of times I've seen on that game, it didn't work that way. So I'm sitting there wondering, how can a plane not win this race when they're fighting, when they're racing against these carts? And they're traveling the same distance as the carts.
Yeah.
Because you got to go through rings.
Yeah, I was like, this is stupid. It's hell. I was so mad the first time I played that game. And the planes controlled so bad. I was just like, Rare, why would you do this? I know you had to satisfy a condition with Nintendo, but this is ridiculous. This is a terrible game.
Nintendo probably was the one who told them to put the planes in.
That way, it seems the same thing. You know, it's not competing.
Yeah.
And actually, Nintendo probably said, that means the game will be bad. People ain't going to like that, so let's go buy ours.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. They ain't going to. This is no competition to Mario now. We done locked that up. So, I mean, you know. Yeah, y'all go ahead and make that. Yeah. Terrible. I refuse to play any of those games. Anything. I don't play anything Rare just about, except for maybe Killer Instinct, Gold, maybe Donkey Kong Country every now and then. I'm not a huge Donkey Kong fan at all. I do not like Donkey Kong very much. And Donkey Kong on the NES, the original Donkey Kong that was even in the arcade, I hate it too. I hate that game. And it's one of the few games that actually has Mario in it that I hate. But this is one of them. I hate the game.
Jumpman.
Yes. Well, he was Jumpman at that point. Yes. But it was terrible. Oh, my gosh. I was playing it last night to do get the pictures and the video for our feature coming up. And I died so many times, it was ridiculous. I just was like, and I understand the concept of Donkey Kong. It's not as if I don't understand how Donkey Kong works. It's just, it's not very well designed. The jumping is ass. And for a character that later became known for his jumping skills, he sure as shit couldn't jump worth shit in this one.
But it was much later.
Yeah, well, like maybe 2 years, 3 years.
Well, after they did that game,
They did
Mario Brothers, which they jumped, but
it was still bad.
It's still not as good. So I mean, they had fine tuned it. You could see which way they were going with it, though. Yeah. Only difference with that is they knew in Donkey Kong, had he able to run fast and jump things, that game been too easy.
Yeah, it actually would have been, yes. Because I was playing, if you play Super Mario RPG, and you go, it's like in Bowser's Castle. They have a miniature redone version, one of the stages, when you're trying to go through the castle trials, one of the stages is him as, it's redone Donkey Kong. And it's an ape, a chained ape, throwing barrels at you from the top of the stage, and you have to jump over the barrels and get up to the top. And then you fight the chained ape, which is one of the enemies you fight in the game anyway. But, now that I enjoy, because I could jump. I could actually jump. But, yeah, Donkey Kong is right up there on my list of really terrible games. For its time, it was pretty innovative, and I could see how people would play, because I would be sitting there trying to play that the whole time, like, how to make him get all the way up there. I'm going to do it. It's addictive. I could see how the game was addictive. But, I very, very upset with Donkey Kong, because it could have been, in hindsight, it's wow. It was not, like, I would not have played a Donkey Kong game after that. But I would have played a Mario game. That's saying that they had improved Mario's jumping skills. His jumping skills would have had to improve. But, you know, I'll play just about anything. I'm just saying. I'll play just about anything. But you got to be able to explain it to me in the simplest form possible. Like, I got to be able to understand what's going on. And I'll take complex games and stuff like Civilization. I would love to learn how to play Civilization. That requires work. And, you know, I mean, like, it requires attention to detail and paying some amount of attention to actually picking up the game and learning it.
It teaches you micromanagement skills.
Yeah, see, that I would want to learn for the micromanagement.
And that's what a lot of college courses use, is, you know, Civilization.
Yeah, and Sim Earth.
Sim Earth and Sim City and stuff like that. So that's understandable.
Yeah. I would do that, but, like, I had to do that for my American government class when I was in college. I had to play Sim City I didn't do very well at it, but I mean, I'll play just about anything. I'll give it a chance. Nothing was fodder, so spiders are not, that's not a, that's not negotiable. Anything, yeah, and so there goes Limbo, which is beautiful, but I would not be playing Limbo because it's a giant spider, supposedly, that's chasing you in the game. But, I mean, I'll give just about anything a chance. But some games, somebody really needed to think about this stuff. And the ones we've mentioned in this podcast, yeah, somebody should have really thought about this before they released that game. Because it was terrible. And this ain't even all the terrible games that we played. I mean, we just came up with a really short list between the two of us of what we played that's really bad.
Yep. I mean, those are the only ones I can think of that stick out right now. But I know I played a lot of games that were pretty, they were pretty bad. But most developers, they don't stay out in mind saying, you know, I'm going to make this horrible game. I'm going to make the worst game ever.
No, they don't start out doing that. But
usually because all the changes that take place and everything completely ruins the idea. Or they put too much in the game.
They try to ruin it. Put too much in. Especially somebody like a Peter Molyneux. They'll sit up here and tell you, oh, we're going to have this, this, and this, and this in the game, and then you can't deliver none of what you promised to deliver. Yeah, that's a problem.
Or because you didn't make your deadline and everything, you just put out what you got.
Yeah.
Just trying to make some money off of it.
Yeah, so. And then we'll release a patch later or some DLC to fix it.
Never get a patch.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Some of these are having that problem. Like Fallout New Vegas are having that problem. It's not a bad game. It's just they got to release so many patches for it to fix all the crap that was wrong with it.
I figure they'll fix that. That'll be no problem. And they'll probably release another. Well, I don't know if they'll release another Fallout after that, but they'll fix that. That'll be no problem.
I don't know. They really messed a lot of people over, and a lot of people were angry about that. That should have been a game of a year kind of thing. And it when it came out, so many people were disappointed with that.
Yes. Well, they'll fix that. I'm not concerned. I know they'll fix that because
they have fixed it. It's just
and when they start releasing more, Fallout automatically. There's a certain breed to go to Fallout. And most people think that Fallout 3 being a first-person, which I was one of those people, Fallout 3 being a first-person shooter or a third-person shooter was a bad idea because it's always been more of an RPG. But a lot of fans are liking the first-person or third-person RPG feel about it, which it does work well with the game. They still do enough of the Fallout series so you know, you can see where they come from. But that being said, they can't make it the bread and butter saying, you know, we're only going to focus on Fallout, which they won't. They'll never do that. So.
No, they wouldn't. I don't think they would. Yeah, it's bad games are, I mean, they're out there, and you just got to really pay attention to what you play so you don't get trapped playing some crap like Silver Surfer or Hard Driving, because it's terrible when you do. It's the worst feeling in the world.
Most of the bad games are a matter of opinion, but some of the games, a lot of people share the same opinion on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Silver Surfer is a bad game, but I've seen what some people said, you know, the game was pretty good. Of course, those people might be reliving childhood memories, and if they play it now, they'd be completely different. But, I think Silver Surfer's rank is one of the worst ones.
Yeah, I do believe it is, too. I wholly agree, and I've only seen it being played, and I thought, that is terrible. I would never play this game. I mean, like, I wouldn't even try to play it, because this would give me a headache after about 5 minutes. Not a headache from, like, motion sickness, but a headache of, this is frustrating the shit out of me. I really don't want to play this. That would give me a headache. But, you know, that's just Silver Surfer for you. So, sir, I think we're going to wrap this up. This week's episode up. Any other parting thoughts you want to drop for our listeners before we roll on out of here?
You could think of any bad games you played or add on to what the games we said. Well, feel free. Hit us up.
I mean,
because there's a lot of them out there and there's a few we probably don't know about that someone else played and said, this game is bad. So
yeah,
I would say just hit us up and let us know.
You can leave us a message at our blog, or you can email us. We're at gaming_insurrection@gaminginsurrection.com, and the gaminginsurrection.com is all one word. at the end of that email address. And you can also send it to me at editor@gaminginsurrection.com. And that's Gaming Insurrection is all one word there, too. Or hit us at Twitter. We're at Gaming Insurrect. That's GAMINGINSURRECT. There is no insurrection because, you know, Twitter wouldn't allow that. It's like, screw you, Twitter. But yeah, send it to us. Send it to us. We're available. Find us at, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably visited our website. So, you know, we have our contact information on there. So hit us up on there. Let us know. Give us some bad games, some really bad games. Because I want to know. I'm interested to see what people think are really bad. Because, you know, you never know. Everybody's bad game could be when somebody else's really good game. And everybody's really good game is when somebody else's bad game. So, you know, there are a myriad of possibilities for bad games in this gaming climate. So, we hope to talk to y'all later. We'll be back with another episode. Haven't decided what it'll be about next, but we will have another episode. Be episode 22. We will post it up on the website and let you know when we have something else. We want to thank you for listening and listen for us later on. Thanks for listening.